Happy Sabbath and good morning, church family. I bring you greetings from the Chico SDA Spanish Church, little church of 100 members, and they are getting together at the same time as we are to praise the name of the Lord on his Sabbath. Amen. I also bring you greetings from the citizens of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. God granted us the privilege, my father-in-law and I, Sam's father, to visit the land of Saudi Arabia, and we went to the traditional area of Midian. It was a very interesting experience, and it is connected with our health talk this morning. As we walked those desolate mountain heights, 7,000-8,000 feet up, where there seems to be no food or water, even today, we were reminded of the exodus of the children of Israel. And God had a purpose in taking his people to the wilderness, didn't he? He took them to prepare them for Canaan. Before the crown, there's always a cross. The Lord is a merciful teacher. Amen? And the Lord knows how to sanctify and transform his people. It's through the lessons of life and through the difficulties that we learn to trust in our God. Amen? Yes. And so the health message is very much linked with the children of Israel and their experience in the wilderness. So let's talk today about the purpose of our health message. Why did God give our church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the health message? I find three reasons. And let's see if we can get this PowerPoint to work. A minute. Very good. We have been given counsel, both biblical and extra-biblical counsel. Why so much? Why so much emphasis? Why is it so important? I'm probably hitting the wrong button, huh? Thank you. Carolina's helping me. Three reasons that are very important. Number one, God wants to sanctify or make his people holy. Could our diet, our lifestyle, our health style be linked with sanctification? It's a good question. Number two, God wants to open our minds to the understanding of Scripture, specifically end time prophecy. Could it be that our health lifestyle is linked to the understanding of prophecy? And number three, we need extra moral strength living in these days. How many of you would agree with that? We are truly living in the times of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, amen? We need moral strength to stand for God and his word. Very much so. Could our lifestyle be linked with moral strength? Absolutely. God desires for us to be holy or sanctified. He says, "You shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. As the Father is holy, so the children should reflect his characteristic of holiness. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." As God is holy, we should be holy. We should be a special people. "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." It's okay to be different. Amen? We don't have to be like the people of the world. We don't have to dress like them. We don't have to eat like them. We can be a special people that gives testimony to our God. Amen? Yes. We should not be ashamed to be different. As Daniel was not ashamed. As you know, in Saudi Arabia, do you know how women dress? In public, they dress completely in black and they put a veil over their face. And that seems so, maybe to us, it seems almost barbaric and archaic. But they do it for a reason. To preserve the institution of marriage to a certain extent, so that men will not lust after a woman. They're protecting their traditions. When you think about it, you say, okay, I can understand why they do that. They're trying to protect the purity of their thoughts and their mind. So perhaps it's not as barbaric as we think. There's a reason, and there could be a good reason for it. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us through his Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? God says, keep my sanctuary clean. How many of you would come in here and graffiti the walls of this church? Who would bring a bag of garbage and leave it here in this sanctuary? Why not? What kind of place is this? This is a holy place. This is the house of God. Well, If our body is the house of God, God has asked us to keep it clean and tidy. Amen? We are not to defile the temple of God. And he says, you shall not make cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Makes sense, right? Wherefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Could it be that we defile ourselves by the things that we eat and drink? Is that possible? Food can contaminate us. And this is now in a spiritual sense as well as a physical sense. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Unclean foods make us unclean. It affects our sanctity and our holiness. Amen? There is a spiritual aspect. We do not avoid unclean meats simply because we will live longer and be healthier. No, we do it so that we may not defile the temple of God. That is the utmost motivation, to please God and keep our body holy for his Holy Spirit. A worldly diet does not sanctify us. Would you agree with that? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The illicit, immoral lifestyle that our culture and sometimes our very nation follows defiles mind and body so that the Spirit of God cannot live in us. We must maintain our body and mind sanctified for the Lord. A worldly diet makes us spiritually cold. We read in Ezekiel, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride and fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. You read time and time again in the writings of Sister White about gluttony. And I always feel guilty when I read that. So I think, like everyone, we struggle. We struggle with overeating. But she says it. It is a characteristic of the world, not a characteristic of the children of God. The children of God, through God's grace, exercise self-control. A worldly diet leads us to idolatry. Do you remember the fruits of Belshazzar and his princes and his concubines? When they drank the wine, what did they do? They didn't praise God. They praised the gods of gold, of silver, brass, iron, of wood, and of stone. They were defiled by their diet. A worldly diet can even defile our mind. The Apostle Paul tells Titus, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Wow. Even our mind and conscience can become defiled. But we read about one brave young man who refused to be defiled by the culture that surrounded him. Amen? That was a teenager, probably around 17 years old, named Daniel, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel proposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine, which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Can you imagine Daniel living in Babylon? You know, it says that he spoke with the prince of the eunuchs. So what does that make Daniel? If the prince of the eunuch was his boss, and he was over the eunuchs, what was Daniel? He was a eunuch. Daniel had been stripped. He was a prince of Judah. And the ultimate blessing for a Jew is to have offspring, let alone royalty. And he had been stripped of his royalty, stripped of his manhood, stripped of his ability to bear children. He had been made literally a puppet in the court of a pagan king. And yet there Daniel stood firm to his beliefs, firm to what he knew the Lord wanted. He refused to defile himself by the customs and the diet of Babylon. I admire that young man. He took a stand for God. Please test your servants for 10 days. Let them eat what? Vegetables. Pulse, it says in some versions. And eat vegetables and drink water. You know the results. At the end of 10 days, their vegan diet made them fairer and fatter in the flesh. Amen? That's such an interesting text. After 10 days, the blessing of God on their simple diet. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them and found them 10 times better. Direct link between the faithfulness and the obedience to God's commandments and the blessings that God... You know, if we want to be blessed, we must obey. Amen? If there's a young person listening here, if you want to be blessed, the condition for a blessing is obedience. We're not saved by our obedience. But when we obey God, it allows him to bless us. God does not bless disobedience. He does not bless unfaithfulness. But when we are faithful to God and obedient to him, it allows him to give us his blessings. Now, God gave Israel a special diet, did he not? And it says here that God rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. We are told that manna was like, it was a substance that could be made into a wafer that tasted like honey. Wafers with honey. Now, that sounds like graham crackers. How many of you would like to have tried a little bit of taste of manna, right? That doesn't sound so bad. I think we could live on that. And the Bible tells us that it was the food of angels. Now, the food of this world doesn't sanctify. God's diet does. This is taken from a letter that Sister White wrote in 1903. In the diet of men and women in this age, there are included many things that the Lord would not have permitted the children of Israel to eat. The human family, as it is today, is an illustration of what the children of Israel would have been if God had allowed them to eat the food and follow the habits and customs of the Egyptians. I imagine they probably had some kind of McDonald's in Egypt. And they probably drank some kind of Coca-Cola. Actually, it's very interesting. You know that the ancient people had beer. That they had for sure. The Mesopotamians, the Egyptians, we find in their ancient writings recipes for beer. So they drank beer, just like people do in our day, in our culture today. So, of course, you've seen how rowdy and uncontrollable children can become when they eat sugar. And you've seen what happens to young people when they drink alcohol. So God stripped them of their Egyptian diet and gave them a Mount Sinai diet. Here are some of the rules that God gave. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Well, that's interesting. Very interesting, because in the fat is the cholesterol, right? And we know today that cholesterol kills us. It causes strokes and heart attacks. It causes amputation of legs. It causes eye damage and kidney damage. So God knew what he was talking about when he said, don't eat the fat of the animal. And God said not to eat the blood. It's interesting, because the blood is one of the areas that is most impure in the body. When I want to test somebody for an illness to see if they're sick, what part of the body do I test? The blood. The blood often carries the bacteria and the parasites that are infecting the person. Thou shalt not eat it, the blood, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Here you can see two test tubes. And one has clear yellow serum. That's the serum from the blood that has been spun down. And that's very clear. And on the other side, you see a milky-looking blood serum. That's the thickness of someone who's eaten a cheeseburger and a milkshake. And you can see why God would say, don't eat that, please. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Even the strangers were to avoid blood. This is a very interesting quotation from 2 Testimonies. You have set for your children a table of unwholesome food, cooked in an unhealthful manner. You have placed flesh meats before them. And what is the result? Are the children refined, intellectual, obedient, conscientious, religiously inclined? You know this is not the case, but entirely the contrary. Your manner of living has strengthened the animal of your nature and weakened the spiritual. This is so interesting. You won't read this in a science book. But essentially, Sister White is saying that the food we eat can affect our mind and can incline our thoughts towards the lower passions and the lower desires, and we could say more rowdy and violent behavior and immoral behavior, or our diet can incline us towards spiritual matters and open the mind to spiritual things. Wow. That is an impressive statement to make. The promise to Israel, if thou will hearken, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen? God took Israel into the wilderness to heal them of their Egyptian diet and to heal them of their Egyptian diseases. Well, do you know what diseases the Egyptians had? We don't have to guess, because scientists have done studies on mummies from Egypt, and they have found out what kind of diseases they had. And guess what they had? Arthritis, diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. They even found sexually transmitted diseases like gonorrhea in the mummies. So the Egyptians had the same diseases we have today, the diseases of excess, the diseases of plenty, because they probably had McDonald's and Pizza Hut and Coca-Cola over there, some version of it at least. Israel was to be an example of what we can be when we follow God's rules. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You know, I have patients who come in and I can tell that they're vegan or vegetarian. The age on the computer says that they're 75, but they look like they're 65. And then I have other patients who come in and the computer says that they're 55 and they look like they're 75. And I have patients who are over 100. I had one that was 103 not too long ago. And I always ask them about their lifestyle. And essentially they have the same lifestyle. They grew up on a farm. They eat vegetables. They garden. They go to church once a week. They don't drink. They don't smoke. Almost always, hands down, the people that live more than 100. And many of them are not of our denomination. There's a pattern. They follow God's laws and his rules, and God blesses them with a long, healthy life. And he can do the same for us. It's never too late. All right. But Israel did not like God's diet. Israel complained against their holy doctor. Didn't like the recipe, the prescription they were given. We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Children of Israel got tired of eating gluten, I guess. I don't know. What did they want? They wanted pollo loco. You know what pollo loco is? You know what that is, right? Where they sell the chicken? They wanted the spicy chicken from pollo loco. They said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We don't want to eat this manna. So what happened? They ate the pollo loco and they died of the bird flu. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Wow. It is hard sometimes to give up old habits. Not easy. I come from a Hispanic Adventist family, and Hispanic Adventists tend to eat more meat than Anglo Adventists. It's very hard to give it up. It's in the cult, you know. You can't be Hispanic if you are vegetarian. It goes against the definition. You know, you're not Hispanic anymore if you become a vegetarian. But by God's grace, we can be different. And by obedience, we can receive the blessings of God. And that will honor and glorify his name. Amen? And then people will say, hey, how come it is that you don't have so much white hair? And they say, how come it is that you have so much energy and you're healthy? And then we can testify. Because God is my doctor and he's given me a diet. And if you follow it, he'll bless you too. Amen? The greatest thing we can do is to testify of God's greatness. Oh, this is a very interesting quote from Review and Herald, May 27, 1902. There are those who ought to be awake to the danger of meat eating, who are still eating the flesh of animals, thus endangering the physical, mental, and spiritual health. The spiritual health. Many who are now only half converted on the question of meat eating will go from God's people to walk no more with them. Wow. That burger does kind of look good, but by God's grace, we can resist it. A proper diet opens the understanding to the truths of prophecy. Daniel 1:17. As a result of Daniel's diet, Daniel had understanding in all what? Visions and dreams. How many of you have ever been confused by Daniel and Revelation? I'm part of a study group that's been studying Daniel 12 for 7 years. And my dad says, well, have you guys figured it out yet? I say, Dad, we're still praying and being vegetarian so we can figure it out. You know, the mysteries of God are deep and profound. But God has given us instructions. We can see the example of Daniel. Daniel says, I set my face to the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes so that he could understand the visions that he had received. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was struggling to understand the vision of Daniel 8, just like we are today. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, if Daniel had to fast for 3 weeks to understand prophecy, how long do we have to fast to understand prophecy? Are we greater than Daniel? Oh, the recipe's there. As a result of his fasting and prayer, Daniel received understanding. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. Amen. In the time of the end, we must understand prophecy. We read in Daniel 12, verse 10, the wise shall understand. How many of you believe that's supposed to be us? Amen. We are supposed to understand. Matthew 24, 15 says, whoso readeth, let him understand. We are to have understanding. And there's verses in Revelation that say the same thing. Let him who has wisdom understand. Sister White tells us something very interesting in Testimony to Ministers. Priceless gems are to be found in the Word of God. Those who search this Word should keep the mind clear. How? Clear. Never should they indulge perverted appetite in eating or drinking. If they do this, the brain will be confused. They will be unable to bear the strain of digging deep to find out the meaning of those things which relate to the closing scenes of this earth's history. Wow. What's our lesson study about today? That's right, eschatology, Revelation. So I would advise that we keep our minds clear this quarter as we study. Amen? All right. Oh, I think I turned it around again. Let's see. Oh, there we go. The third reason that we have been given the health message. The health message will increase our moral strength. John the Baptist is our role model. It says of him in Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias or Elijah. Question, did John the Baptist have to have moral courage to confront King Herod? It cost him his life. Yes, he definitely had to have moral courage to go before the king and give him the message of God. There's no question. So God knew this. God knew he would need moral strength and courage. So from the very beginning, God gave a special diet for a special mission. Amen? It even began with his mother. It began when he was in the womb. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. His healthy living began with his mom while she was pregnant. Amazing. So God gave John the Baptist a special diet. We read, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. And his meat or his food was what? Locusts and wild honey. Now, this is really interesting. I researched this a little bit. What is this locust that John used to eat? And I came across some interesting materials. Well, Wikipedia, you know. And there are Christians from the early 2nd and 3rd century that say that John the Baptist was a vegetarian. And they say that his diet was similar to the diet of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Now, what did Israel eat? They ate wafers like honey, right? Remember, the Bible says that the manna was like a wafer with the taste of honey. And so these Christians say that John the Baptist had a diet similar to the manna of the children of Israel. And so I said, well, how's that? So as I studied, there is a tree in the Middle East that poor people eat the seeds from that tree, the carob tree. And inside those pods are seeds. And they take those seeds, this is poor people, and they grind those seeds into powder, kind of like the Indians, the native Californians, used to take acorns and make a like a flour out of acorns, right? You're aware of that? And so these carob seeds can be pounded into a flour and made into bread. The only problem is it's a very bitter bread. It does not have a sweet taste at all. So It is true that the word for locusts in the New Testament could refer to the little cricket-like creatures that people see. And it's true, it is considered a clean meat in the five books of Moses. But locust could also refer to the fruit of the carob tree. And we know that people eat St. John's bread. They take the flour from the carob seed and make it into breads. So it's interesting. There is a very strong possibility that what John ate was carob bread. And since it was so bitter, it's very normal that he would put what on it? Wild honey. And this diet would be similar to the manna that the children of Israel ate while they were in the wilderness. Interesting, right? So I look to see what does Sister White say about John the Baptist. This is what she says. His diet, purely what? She didn't say vegetarian. She said vegetable. Purely vegetable of locusts and wild honey was a rebuke to the indulgence of appetite and the gluttony that everywhere prevailed. Now, what the other interesting fact that I found is, you know, the husks that have the seeds from the carob tree, some theologians, some scholars believe that's what the prodigal son's pigs were eating. Do you remember? The Bible says that he yearned to eat the husks that the pigs were eating. Some people think they were eating the husks from the carob tree. And so he wanted the seeds because he knew they were edible. And the pigs were eating it. It was pig's food, but he knew it was nutritious even for humans. I thought that was an interesting point as well. So John the Baptist is an example for us. How about Samson? Did Samson have a special mission? Did God give him a special diet for his mission? Now, this is Jesus speaking to Samson's mom. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Why? Because Samson had a special mission. How about Esther? Did she have a special mission and a special diet? Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast. Why did Esther fast? What did she need? To look skinnier in her dress for the king? Why did she fast? What did she need? She needed courage. She needed moral strength. Because what she was going to do could cost her her life. Now, if Esther needed moral strength, what about you and me? Have you seen what's on TV and on the internet? Boy, I think we need moral strength. Amen? Terrible stuff. Jesus fasted. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus fasted because he knew that the tempter was coming. And he needed to have his mind clear. And he submitted himself to God's will. Even Paul had a very strict lifestyle. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things, says Paul. And here he's picturing in his mind, Paul is picturing the athletes from the Olympics in Olympus, Greece. And then Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what did Paul keep under? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I think Paul may have worked out. What do you think, Wes? Maybe Paul did push-ups and maybe did some pull-ups. Maybe he ran laps like we used to do in Guam, remember? He did some kind of exercise. And he was very careful with his diet. Amen? Why? He says, when I have preached to others, that I myself should be a castaway. He said, I have to practice what I preach so that I will be able to perform my duty and I will be able to be one of those who will go with Jesus to heaven. Amazing text. Sister White, once again, the better you observe the laws of health, the more clearly you can discern what? Temptations. And resist them. And the more clearly can you discern the value of eternal things. Is it worthwhile following the instructions of God? Will it increase our moral strength? Will it increase our ability to resist temptations? Will it increase our ability to keep the mind on heavenly things? It will. It will open our mind to the scriptures and to the word of God. and it will maintain our temple holy. Our gracious Heavenly Father sees the deplorable condition of men who, some knowingly but many ignorantly, are living in violation of the laws that He has established. In love and pity to the race, He causes the light to shine upon health reform, to make plain natural law, and to urge the obedience of it is the work that accompanies the third angel's message, to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. Now, this is interesting. The health message is to prepare the people to receive what message? The third angel's message. Now, is the third angel's message a deep message? It is very deep. Is it an easy message to swallow? It is not. But the servant of God has told us to prepare the people to receive this message, they should first hear which message? The health message. That's interesting. So what God is saying is, if you want to teach someone the third angel's message, they have to have a clear mind. Amen? It makes sense. Their mind has to be ready and able to absorb the deep things of God. So it would make sense. We first lovingly help them to clear the mind and body, and then the third angel's message will be easier to comprehend, and it will do its work. Oh, you can't see that picture very well. That's a basement with a cabinet with glass jars. What's inside of those glass jars? Meat. All kinds of meat. I want to tell you the true story of a friend of mine from Guam, Dr. Brian Bates. I know Wes knows him. He was a surgeon with us in Guam. And he told us a very interesting story how they became Seventh-day Adventists. They were living in Maine. That's where they're from. And in their basement, they had a cabinet like that full of preserved meats, both clean and unclean, because, you know, they didn't know the health message. One day, an evangelist came to their church and preached an evangelistic series, and they felt moved by God to accept the Adventist message, including the message of health. So the father called a meeting of the whole family, and he said, "When the unclean meats run out, we'll become Seventh-day Adventists." He said, "Because it's not right for us to throw it away. That's good meat. So we're going to eat the unclean meats, and then we're going to get baptized." That was serious. That's what they decided. So it's okay. So Dr. Bates tells us that very week, in the middle of the night, they heard a loud crashing sound downstairs. Bam! And they heard glass jars breaking. The whole family ran down to the basement, and the chest, you know, this cabinet had fallen down. And some of the jars were broken, and some were not. And when they examined carefully, this is what they tell me. The jars of the unclean meat were all broken, and the jars of the clean meat were all preserved. And Dr. Bates says, with his voice, you know, Brian Bates, he says that his father looked at them and said, "Well, looks like we're getting baptized this Sabbath." Don't wait for the angels to throw down your refrigerator at home. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, God loves His people. He wants to save not only His people, He wants us to witness and save our friends and family. Amen? And God has given us the health message to save us and to save our family and friends. God knows that the mind needs to be clear to accept the truths of God, the heavy truths of God, the third angel's message, serious stuff. God is wise. If we follow His ways, not only will He bless us, but it will give us opportunity to testify of the wisdom and glory of our God. My prayer for all of us is that we will be obedient and faithful like Daniel, and we will witness for our God. May God bless the Fallbrook Church.